Hi everyone, this is Dean Crisp. So glad to be back in the studio. I think you're really going to enjoy this week's podcast. We're going to be talking about, are you a willing participant of your leadership or are you a prisoner? And if you're a willing participant, it makes all the difference in the world. So sit back, turn up the volume, enjoy yourself. Hope this will help change your life. Hi, I'm Dean Crisp. Welcome to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is what we'd like to say is the no BS zone, where we give you leadership tips, ideas, and practical suggestions to help you become a top leadership performer. Our goal is simple: help you become the best version of yourself and reach your highest potential as a leader. So sit back, turn up the volume, get ready to change your life. Hi, everybody. Dean Crisp. So glad to be back in the podcast booth this week. Been off for a couple of weeks, you know, had some family situations there. So unfortunate that I lost my father a couple of weeks ago. And so kind of took a break from the podcast booth, as all of you can understand. I'm one of those people that when you do a podcast, you have to really get your mind right. You have to really focus. I don't want to just throw material out there to see if it'll stick on the wall. And maybe this week, because I got to do a podcast, I'll do a podcast. When I do a podcast, it comes from the heart. And so I'm ready to get back in the studio. And we've got so many exciting things going on at LHLN, at Leaders Helping Leaders Network. We've just got an amazing array of classes that we're offering. We're doing a master presenter course now, which we get you for an entire week to take an in-depth look at yourself as a leader, but not only as a leader, but how do you present yourself? How do I communicate what I'm trying to get accomplished? How do I communicate my ideas? How do I become a better presenter if I do teach in the classroom? And it's just gotten great reviews, and we've just loved it. I team teach that class with Tim Plotz, who is an FBI leader instructor and just a tremendous talent. And Tim is so passionate about helping people. Check us out on the website on that Master Presenter. It's one of those, it really is a life-changing course. We do the intentional leadership, as you always, as is our kind of base class that we created. And my belief is this, that whatever you become intentional about, you generally get done. And that's kind of the law of intentionality. Created another class. It's called The Character-Driven Cop, How to Make Really Tough, Critical Decisions. And you know, all of us out there, and most all of you that are into practice now doing law enforcement as a practitioner, we're faced every day with so many tough choices and so many tough decisions. And I've created a class to help the officer who's on the street to make better decisions quickly and to use a critical decision-making process. This course has gotten great reviews as well. So I ask you to take a look at that online. We also are doing the Accelerated Leader course online, and we've got some exciting things we're getting ready to cut loose into the training arena, if you will, for LHLN. We've just got so many exciting things. We got a new staff member. We got Morgan Garrell Crisp, who just happens to be my daughter-in-law, and I love her dearly. And she teams up with Drew, but she's doing our marketing. She's got a degree from USC in marketing, and she's helping Kelly, who is our operations manager, but our business development manager as well. And she's just doing a great job too. So I'm so excited for the staff and what we're doing. And we're just seeing some amazing things at LHLN. So, but let's talk today and let's turn our focus here to our podcast. And let's talk about really what inspired me today to kick back into the podcast world and to really get things moving as it related to moving this podcast forward. I started asking myself about leadership, and you know, I try to work out a lot. I go to the gym a lot, not so much because I'm trying to be a bodybuilder, not so much I'm trying to be the strongest man in the world, but my why of exercise, and you guys know, or anybody that knows me, knows that I talk about the why a lot, like why do you do things? Like my why of teaching is to inform, to inspire, and to educate, to help people live a purpose-driven life. That's why I get in front of the classroom. That's why I do a podcast. That's why I do everything that I do to help you and to help me live a purpose-driven life. And I'm a believer that in every strong area of your life, everything that matters in your life, raising your children, your marriage, or you're talking about your job, or you're talking about your position, exercise, things that really, really matter. And, you know, it's kind of like this Mount Rushmore of your life. Everybody has a Mount Rushmore of their life. And in those areas that you have these Mount Rushmore monuments, if you will. So in other words, not be presidents, but it could be family. That's a Mount Rushmore thing in your life. Your profession, that's a Mount Rushmore thing in your life, you know? And so every one of those, you should have a really clear understanding of why. And every person that's mounted on Mount Rushmore, or whose figure is on Mount Rushmore, understood the why of what they were doing in developing this great country. And so everybody has those Mount Rushmore, and everybody on that Mount Rushmore had a really understanding of the why. So my why of exercise is to live a long life, long as I can, and to have a good quality of life. So every day when I go to the gym, I keep that in mind. It's really my why. And guarantee you, at 5 o'clock in the morning, your why of leadership won't get you out of bed to go to the gym, but your why of health and taking care of yourself definitely will. So I was in the gym the other day, and I was thinking about life, and I was thinking about leadership, and I was thinking about myself, taking a closer self-reflective look at myself. And I was saying, well, you know, in leadership, when I was a leader, when I was leading and now leading LHLN, which is, I think, is one of the greatest honors of my life, because I'm coming to you via podcast and having so much contact with people and going around this great country, I just don't know that I could be in a better place right now in terms of fulfilling my purpose in life. But I was thinking, am I a willing participant or am I a prisoner? And when I thought about that for that moment, it dawned on me that that's exactly what stops a lot of people from being the best leader and impacting people in their organizations at the highest level, or in the top 10 or 5% of their organization, is because they're not willing participants of what they're doing. They're prisoners. So I'm going to ask you today, and I want you to take this thought for a second and say, am I a willing participant of my leadership? In other words, is this what I choose to do to be a leader for the right reasons? Or am I a prisoner of that because I get paid a lot of money, or I'm put in a position where I can't do anything else because I make so much, or I make money now and I've kind of set my lifestyle to whatever money I'm making. I like the hours. I like the car. I like the office. But when you become a willing participant in leadership, the foundational things of leadership are more important than the extrinsic or the things that you get a value that you might see as a paycheck, a car, an office, or whatever. So when you think about this for a second, just pause a moment and ask yourself, are you a willing participant of your leadership? In other words, are you doing it for the right reasons? What I have found to be true about people that are not willing participants, in other words, they're prisoners of whatever situation they're in, or they're prisoners of their assignment, or they're prisoners of their location where they live, or whatever it is, you're constantly fighting against yourself. So every day you never really get settled. You are constantly have this internal kind of fight to find a better way to feel better about what you're doing. So if you're a willing participant, you tend to find the things that intrinsically motivate you, like helping people grow, helping things to be better. But if you're a prisoner of your position or leadership, you tend to look for those things that help you. So not so much to help others, but what tends to help you. So out of that thought process, I've kind of designed some questions or comments or points that I want to make to kind of help you define or to answer for yourself. Are you a willing participant of your leadership, or are you a prisoner? So let's look at the first point, if you're a prisoner of your leadership or if you're a prisoner of your circumstances. The first key that I found is you're not motivated. So in other words, when a problem comes up, it demotivates you really quickly. And you ask yourself a lot of times, why am I doing this? So motivation is really hard if you're a prisoner. It's really hard to do anything beyond what's just normally acceptable to do. You know, I read a study one time about the amount of effort that people give at work, which I intend to do as a future podcast about how do we really motivate ourselves to do more. But they found that most people do about 30% on an effort scale of 0 to 100 a day. How much do they give towards their workplace? Then they found that most people are kind of stop at 30%. So think about that for a minute. Everybody working around you works at about 30% of their peak or their optimal performance. Now think about that for a second. Do you think people working at 30% are willing participants or are they prisoners? Well, in my opinion, they're prisoners. So you're not motivated. That's the first thing. The second thing is you use your position as your power base. So instead of trying to influence people to really do right or be their best or influence people in the organizational skill sets, whatever, you do it based upon your rank. Like in the police world, you're getting people to do what they're going to do because you're either a sergeant, a captain, a lieutenant, a major, a chief, whatever it is. You use your positional power as the number one kind of base or foundational creation of your leadership. So in other words, when all else fails, you'll point to your rank or you'll point to your position and say, do it because I said so. That's a really good indication that you're a prisoner of your leadership because you're not trying to develop a followership, which is extremely important in leadership. You're just telling people what to do. The third thing is you don't tend to trust others. You're constantly wondering what somebody's motivation is. You're constantly wondering, are they out to get you? You're constantly worrying, when's the boss going to call me? People who are prisoners of their leadership are always looking over their shoulder. Now, I don't mean to parallel this to being like a criminal, but when you're a prisoner of your leadership, in reality, you're always looking over your shoulder, waiting for the next shoe to drop or something else to happen. I mean, it just happens that way. The fourth thing is you don't create partnerships from your people. You have a tendency to do everything by yourself. So your fallback is if they don't do it the way I want to get it done, then you won't trust them or help them. You'll tend to just take it from them and do it yourself. So you become a prisoner of your leadership because you're more worried about the task getting done than you are the people growing at doing the task. Now, that's an interesting kind of point, and we could literally spend hours talking about that, that a lot of people don't trust people enough. They don't want to develop people enough to really help them understand or do the task. They just pick it up and do it themselves because they're more worried about the pain penalty or looking bad or making the boss mad or whatever the deadline is. They're more worried about that than they are the people. So they don't create partnerships. If you're a prisoner of your leadership, you do not create partnerships. You basically do everything by yourself and you expect people just instantly do what you tell them to do. The fifth thing is that you don't grow as a leader. You just are stagnant. You tend to not read anything. You tend to not look at opportunities to make yourself better as a leader. You kind of go through the definition of insanity. It's credited with Albert Einstein, but nobody can really tell if he said it or not. But the old saying is insanity is doing the same thing every day and expecting different results. A lot of us do that. But that's really a sign of you being a prisoner of your leadership, not so much that you're insane, if that makes any sense at all. Retirement, number six, is retirement or the end of assignment or whenever you're going to get finished in that job at that position tends to be what you look forward to every day. And I'll give you another example of being a prisoner of your leadership is if you say, I can't wait till Friday, or if thank God it's Friday, TGIF is like your key motto, then you are absolutely 100% a prisoner of your position or your leadership. Because what that says is that you find the joy or you find the when you're happy is when you're not in that position or not doing what you're doing. So when you're a prisoner of wherever you are, a prisoner of whatever position you have or your leadership, then your influence on others is going to be just terrible. But by the same token, you're not going to be happy. Number seven, you just don't want to be there. You could think of any other place on this earth that you would want to be, but here or there. Now, I always tell people that cops are like, they're here and there people. Now, you think about this for a second. I want to just pause and think. Here's what I mean by that. When cops get here, they wish they were there. And then just as soon as they get there, they wish they were back here. So cops are really hard sometimes to please. But when you're a prisoner of your position or your leadership, a lot of times you just don't want to be there. And that's not only the physical presence, that's the mental presence. You really just don't want to be there. Now, the eighth key is you feel disconnected to the organization. Now, remember that when you feel disconnected from the organization, that you are just doing your task to just get things done. You don't feel like you're a willing partner. You don't feel like you got any say in where the organization is going. You don't feel like that whatever you're doing has any major impact. You just feel disconnected from the organization. And I see this a lot from the very high ends of an organization, like the chief or the sheriff or the CEO, whoever it may be that I'm dealing with, that they believe everybody all the way down the line to even the person who is doing the lowest job that they will pay, that they're extremely connected to the organization. That's not true. If you look at people, either it be on a plant floor, or you look at people in an organization, or you look on the road, or you look whatever, one of the things that creates a disconnection is they're prisoners of that position. They've either been there too long, they don't enjoy what they're doing anymore, they just feel disconnected from the organization. Creates kind of this prisoner mentality. And number nine, they see, or you see things as obligations instead of opportunities. So when the phone rings, and I know all of us have done this, and I've done it, doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean that you're totally a prisoner, but there are certain numbers on your telephone that you just absolutely make you say bad words. You'll say like bullshit, or you'll say whatever when that phone rings, or you'll say, oh my God, I'm not going to answer that because that's going to be a problem. And so it's kind of like when something happens, when you're a prisoner of where you're at, you see it as an obligation. Like, oh my God, here we go again. Got to deal with this again. It's always the same old bullshit, you know, and this is straight talk on leadership. So straight talk on leadership, we're allowed to say bullshit. And number 10 is you have a very fixed mindset. So what does a fixed mindset mean? It means that instead of trying to grow yourself, you don't. It means that instead of looking at things as opportunities, you tend to not do it. You tend to see things that they're that way just because they're always going to be that way. You look at a person, you think, well, they just have so much talent, they never could be any better. You don't really see any growth opportunities. You just have a fixed mindset. It's just like you look and whatever is, and whatever is going to be is going to be. That's kind of your fixed mindset. And when you look at those 10 things. Now, there's many, many, many more things that create you to look at yourself as a prisoner of whatever position or whatever leadership or whatever it is you might be doing. But I want you to think about the key of all those is that fixed mindset. Now, let's talk about, are you a willing participant of leadership? Are you all in? Are you in it because you're in for the right reasons? Are you a willing participant? So one of the first things is, you're motivated. Like every time something happens, you're motivated to be better. Or when you get up in the morning, you're motivated to go to work. I say this about leadership. And I want you to think about this for a minute, all right? I want you to really think about this. If your leadership is not keeping you up at night or waking you up in the morning, then you're not a willing participant. Now, pause a minute, and I know you're saying, wait a minute, you mean I need to stay up all night long thinking about leadership? Nope, I didn't say that. See, if you did say that, you're dealing with a fixed mindset. And I said, getting you up in the morning, does that mean you're waking up in the morning and the first thing you think about is the bad things of leadership? Nope. See, if you look at it from that standpoint, you have a fixed mindset. Now, let me give you a growth mindset and open your mindset up about that. Just that comment, give you an example. So if I say your leadership's keeping you up at night, what that means is you're constantly thinking about ways to grow. You're constantly thinking about ways to improve, to help people, so much that sometimes it's hard to shut yourself off because you're so excited to try those things and make those things. You're reading, you're constantly pushing yourself. So what I mean by I'm not telling you to stay up at night with your leadership. I'm just telling you it keeps you up at night because you think about all the good things. Now, getting you up early in the morning means that the first thing you think about when you get up is, oh, no, damn, another day. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be horrible. No, no, no. Not thinking about that at all. What I am saying is that you're excited to get to the office. You're excited to do the work. You're excited to see the growth in people. You're excited for the things you're doing. So your leadership should literally be keeping you up at night because you're looking at all things you're going to accomplish and get you up early in the morning because you're excited to accomplish those things. So the first thing is you take advantage of those situations. Now let's talk about number two. Number two is growth. Now here's what I have found about people who are willing participants of their leadership. They find ways to grow. So they'll read articles, they'll talk to people, they mentor, they have a mentor, they are part of the organization. They find ways to constantly grow themselves. I have found this to be true about leadership, and from anybody I have ever dealt with in a leadership role, those leaders who are constantly growing are absolutely the top tier leaders in any organization or of any place that I've seen. Those are the significant leaders. If you're growing, you have a tendency to create this motivation to want to share that growth. So you have to take advantage of growth. So people who are willing participants of their leadership tend to grow a great deal. Number three, they see the potential in others. Now, that's hard to do sometimes because one of the things that I love is walking into a classroom and meeting people for the first time and not really knowing them. And you might say, well, why do you do that? Because see, when I get you in a classroom or I'm in a classroom with you, I don't see you for what you are. I see you for what you can be. And there's a difference. And the second that I decided to help others grow, I had to start looking at people from a position of, you know what? This is what you can be if you just understand what your potential is and you help yourself reach that, your highest level of performance. And when I found that, I had to see the potential in others. One of the important ones, number four, is you have to find a way to trust others. So people who are willing participants of their leadership, they are very trusting of the people that they work with. And the reason they're trusting is because they're trying to grow the people that they work with. See, that's the key. And they have an open mindset. And instead of just taking the task from someone, they trust the person to do the task. One way to really identify or tell whether or rather if you trust individuals you work with is you're very quick to explain the why. If you're very quick to explain the why of what you're trying to do, then you have a tendency to trust the people that you're asking to do the task. So willing participants must trust the people that they are working with and the people who work for them. So if you're in a leadership position and you're a willing participant, trust is a really key guide. Do you trust your people? Now, number five, this is really important that you inspire your people. Now, that doesn't mean that you run around all day long as a cheerleader. That doesn't mean that you rah, 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 rah this and it's some kind of fake inspiration. But no, what it means is that you actually are an inspiration to them. Now, how do you as a leader, if you're a willing participant, the one thing you want to do for sure is to get the best out of your people. And when people are inspired to do their work, they have a tendency to almost always, always exceed expectations. So how do we inspire people at work? Well, you think about it for a minute. We talk about the vision. We talk about what we're trying to accomplish. We have an overall positive attitude about the workplace. We lead by example. We help them grow. Those are all inspirational components to help people be inspired in the workplace. And when you look at inspiring in the workplace, it's extremely important. So let's look at number six, explaining the why / creating partnerships. Now, I've already talked about just a moment ago when I talked about the why, explaining the why creates a very valuable kind of trust component. But creating a partnership is what you really want. Now, why do you want a partner? Think about it for a second. if I'm doing a task or if I've got someone doing the task for me, I want them to understand the expediency in which we need to get it done. I want them to understand the bigger overall picture of what we're trying to accomplish. I want them to think past today. I want them to start looking at it from a leadership position. And you can't do those things unless you create partnerships with people. People, yes, we pay them to do the job, but more than anything in today's environment, people want to be a part of something special. So when you look at being a part of something special, creating partnerships / explaining the why is number 6 and 7. It's one of those special things where you kind of look, or what's number 6? It's not really number 7. All right, number 7. Look for ways to improve the organization. Now, that's a really key component of being a willing participant. And the one way that I do myself when I look at this is that, am I looking at the organization for the overall benefit of what I'm doing? Does it benefit the organization? Every single day when I come to work, am I thinking about myself? Am I thinking about when I'm going to get off? Or am I thinking about all the stuff that I don't have to do or don't want to do that day? Or am I thinking in the long run, am I really going to help the organization improve? Now, I want you to think about it from this standpoint. Well, how do you do that? Well, you improve yourself. And then you see the bigger overall picture of what you were talking about. But think about this for a second. A better me makes a better we. So am I improving myself? Am I helping the organization get better? Number 8, don't take no as a stopping point. Take no as a building beginning point to finding out how do we make it a yes. Now, a lot of us, when we want to do something at work, we'll ask about a pay raise, or we'll ask about a new assignment, or we'll ask about something we're wanting to get accomplished, a new idea or whatever. Well, the first thing that happens is I guarantee you that about 99% of the time when you bring in a new idea, you bring in a new concept, or you do anything like that, what happens? What happens is you're told no. A willing participant in leadership looks at no as a way to get to yes. Now, that takes a mindset change, but it's extremely important. No should be a starting point to getting to yes. It should not be the end point to the final answer. Now, when you look at number 9, you got to help people reach their potential. Now, in number 3, we talked about seeing others' potential, but actually in this one, you got to help them reach that. And how do you do that? Well, you inspire, you motivate, you get them to look past today. You get them to see themselves, what's inside of them. When I talk to people a lot about leadership, I say, do you know what your number one problem is about how you see yourself and you see what you can do? And they'll always ask me, well, no, what is the problem? I said, you believe the narrative that other people have for your life. In other words, what other people think of you or what other people say of you or what other people try to pigeonhole you or put you in, you believe it. You've got to help people look past the narrative that other people have already determined their course of their life. So when you look at that, you got to help them reach their potential. And number 10, you got to see problems as opportunities, not as obligations. And when you get those phone calls, you need to say, all right, let's move forward. How to make this better? How do we push past this point? There was an old exercise that I did in Stephen Covey classes many, many years ago, and I found it to be pretty useful. And let's talk about seeing problems as opportunities. Okay, so let me ask you for a question. I want you to think about everything you got to do tomorrow. So I want you to go ahead in your mind, and I want you to say, this is everything I have to do tomorrow. Okay, so this is everything I have to do tomorrow. I want you to say it to yourself. I have to go to the store, I have to go to work, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do that. Okay, now, if you look at it like that, it's an obligation, which means that you're forced to do it. But let's look at it another way. I want you to say, instead of saying, I have to do this tomorrow, say, I choose to do this tomorrow. You'd be surprised that after you repeat to yourself a couple of times, I choose to do this tomorrow, I don't have to do it, but I choose to do it, how you start to look at it from a different perspective. It actually creates chemicals in your brain, dopamine and serotonin, chemicals that automatically let you look at things or you get rewards for what you're doing. So in other words, if I say, I choose to do this tomorrow, when I'm doing it, it actually feels good instead of having to do it. Now, that didn't work for everything in your life. And I'm not saying if you got a terrible, difficult task tomorrow, it's really hard to say I choose to do that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you start looking at things as opportunities instead of obligations, you'd be surprised how you'll become a willing participant. Now, the last thing, which is number 11, is the growth mindset. There is no way, no how around being a willing participant without a growth mindset. Now, what does that mean? That means you see things in a positive way. It means that you see things as opportunities. It means that instead of looking at things as being, this is just the way they are, you see, what can they be? What can they be? You look at opportunities to grow yourself. You look at things from a positive perspective. When you have a growth mindset, you tend to see the good side of things instead of the negative side of things. And if you're in police world, that's really hard to do sometimes because we're faced with problems every single day. And we can tend to see those as being obligations, not opportunities. So growth mindset is extremely important. Now, we've just spent the last 30 minutes or so talking about, are you a willing participant or are you a prisoner of your leadership? The key to being the best that you can possibly be and helping your organization become the best that it can possibly be is you have to be a willing participant. If you're not a willing participant in your leadership and in your life, go beyond leadership for a minute. Ask yourself about life. Am I a willing participant or am I a prisoner of life? I guarantee you that if you answer the question, I'm a willing participant, and you start looking at the world using those 11 tips that I just gave you about how to be a willing participant, guarantee you to change your life. Folks, that's all we have for this week. I want to thank you again for joining us on LHLN, on Straight Talk on Leadership. So good to be back in the podcast chair. So good to be talking to you and being coming to you from our studios. And so good to be a part of your life. Thank you for helping us grow to be what we need to be and taking us to that different level in terms of not only a committed organization, but people that really generally want to help change people's lives for the better. Again, thank you for being part of this podcast. Look forward to seeing you and hearing from you on the next one. Until next time, I'm Dean Crisp.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We have officially rolled out the Leaders Helping Leaders Network online e-learning accelerator class. Be sure to sign up for the early bird special price of $397. Be one of the first 100 students to register, and you will also get 3 bonuses with the early bird deal. You can sign up for this course at www.e.lhln.org. Again, that's www.e.lhln.org. Sign up, grab your laptop, and get ready to change your life.